Annie, bayo, 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 bayo. Charlie's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare with love. If you're feeling down and having a slow day, just pack up your bag and head to the city. You will get the love that you need right away with love. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare with love.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
A pleasant good morning to you. It is December 11, Wednesday, December 11, 2019. How time flies so quickly. Many of us are getting into the Christmas mood now that election is over, and I would hope that most of us are getting our minds, spirits, and bodies, as it were, into the Christmas season. Good morning to you. Good morning. We're so happy that you've joined us for yet another episode of Health Vibes, your very own health talk show brought to you by the brand you trust the most, Jolly's Pharmacy. My co-host, good morning to you.
Good morning, Carlton, and to the many, many listeners of Q95.
Well, they would have heard your voice this morning on the other program at 6:25.
Oh, yes.
And now you're back.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm in good spirits. I'm wearing my blazer this morning. It's quite cold in the studio.
Yes, it is.
Well, what we call cold. I mean, if you're in America or in Europe, then you know what is cold.
That
but
is
for
true.
Us, you know, we say it is cold as well.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So it's a bit chilly, but it's good. I actually like this weather.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are having sounder sleep. Fewer mosquitoes.
Yes.
And longer nights.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and it's been raining, and so that makes the sleep even more sound.
Oh yes.
You know?
I'm looking forward to it at nighttime especially.
So we are on with you this morning. Many of you might be on your way somewhere, whether it's to Roseau, to your community. You might be on your farm right now. You may be at your desk right now, you know, having some work done. We want to say good morning to you. To the many people celebrating birthdays and anniversaries, we're saying good morning to you. Those who have given birth to a new baby, whether it's a boy or a girl, we say congratulations to you. I know that, you know, it's always a joyous time when you're blessed with a healthy baby. So we want to say congratulations to you at this time. This morning we have a very interesting topic. We will be discussing peptic ulcer disease. We know that many people have experienced that disease. Some are still experiencing this disease in terms of being on treatment and so forth. So we'll be exploring, you know, the cause, the symptoms, the treatments, XYZ relating to this disease. Let me just remind you at this time that our Charlie's Toy Store is indeed open. And so the famous catch, the early bird catches the worm.
Yes.
You know, it's it applies right now.
Of course. Don't wait last minute.
That's it. And so the toys are laden in the store. You're wondering which store, where is it located? It's located inside of our wholesale department that is on King George the Fifth Street, mm-hmm. the Fifth Street, as mm-hmm. it is called, close to the Point Michelle bus stop, opposite the Point Michelle bus stop. This is where you will find the Jolly's toy store. those of you who may be wondering, can you use your card? Yes, you can use your card. Once there is money on it, you can use it. And then if you're wondering as well, wow. What if I don't have money? Well, there is an ATM machine right there that belongs to National Bank, and so you can get money right next door, just on the outside of the toy store. You know, you can get some money. Currently, our time is 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. As we expand the shopping hours, I will let you know what the new shopping hours are going to be in a subsequent time. So what we are going to do, we are going to take a short break, and then we will explore the topic today, peptic ulcer disease.
Charlie's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare with love. If you're feeling down and having a slow day, just pack up your bag and head to the city. You will get the love that you need right away with love. Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare with love.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes, hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes. On Q95, every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
So we're back with you on Health Vibes. As we said this morning, we are going to be discussing peptic ulcer disease. It's a disease that is a gastrointestinal disease. Many people do suffer with this disease, and it is one that warrants exploring. Mm-hmm. It is one that warrants information dissemination. And this is what we do best on Health Vibes. Let me just give you the numbers again. Those of you who may want to call, you know, within the cost of the show, let me just give you the numbers. They're 449-3095. That is 449-3095. 449-3096. 449-3097. 616-4257. You may want to call from overseas as well. You're welcome to do so. The numbers are 305-432-9624 or 347-349-7431. These are the numbers that you can reach us or at the studio here live on Health Vibes. So as we said this morning, we are discussing peptic ulcer disease. It is one that has affected many people worldwide. But what is peptic ulcer disease? So peptic ulcer disease are sores that develop in the lining of the stomach, the lower esophagus, or the small intestine, what we call the duodenum. It is really sores that develop in the lining of the stomach, the esophagus or the windpipe, all right, and the duodenum, which is a small part, which is a part of the small intestine. Usually brought about by inflammation caused by a particular bacteria called Helicobacter pylori bacteria, which causes erosion of the lining of the stomach. Mm-hmm. Peptic ulcers are fairly common health problems, it's a common health problem that we see and is usually diagnosed. And so there are three different types of peptic ulcer that we're going to look at.
Okay, so the three of them, the first one would be gastric ulcers. So this is the type of ulcers that develop inside of the stomach. So as Carlton said a while ago, you have the peptic ulcers are open sores. So they can be either in the lining, inside the lining of the stomach, and the upper area of the small intestine. So the first one would be those that develop inside the intestine itself. The esophageal ulcers are those that develop inside the esophagus. So that's the nice tubing, you know, that goes to the towards the stomach,
yeah,
where food goes down. And then you have the duodenal ulcers. That's the ulcers that develop in the upper section of the small intestine. So you can already see that various areas from the esophagus to the stomach, those open ulcers can occur. As Carlton said, it can be as a result of the H. pylori bacterium that eats away in the lining of the stomach. And what happens is this would cause immense inflammation of the stomach lining. And so one of the first symptoms would be excruciating pain, Carlton, because you can imagine even, mm-hmm. you know, on our skin, if you were to have an ulcer, how painful it would be. So can you imagine in the stomach or in the esophagus where you have open sores caused by that bacteria or by certain types of medication, and plus in the stomach, especially where you have so much acid, how painful this could be.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to go into mm-hmm. the symptoms and, you know, how we can detect it.
Mm-hmm. So peptic ulcer, as we know, is a gastrointestinal disease, meaning that it's a disease that impacts the stomach and the intestines. It is one that is quite prevalent. Many people go to the emergency room almost on a daily basis, with symptoms that may mimic or may actually confirm peptic ulcer disease. So there are different factors that can cause the lining of the stomach or the esophagus and the small intestines to break down. So there are some factors that may cause this. One is the presence of this particular bacterium, what we call the Helicobacter pylori or the HP bacteria that cause stomach infection and inflammation. It is one that has been around for some time, but it would seem that in recent time it is more pronounced or spoken about in the medical community.
Mm-hmm.
So usually what happens if you go to the doctor with epigastric pains, that is intense pain just mm-hmm. below, in the middle of the chest area, just below your in the pit of your, as we'd call this, the pit of the stomach, right, where your stomach begins. If you begin to experience very excruciating pain there, you begin to get maybe bloated, upset stomach, nausea. You know the pain is really intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know that would maybe make you want to go to the doctors to see what's happening. There are specific tests that is often done to confirm whether you have this bacterium or not. People who use frequent NSAIDs, those are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So if you're taking, you know, aspirin, naproxen, diclofenac, indomethacin, pyroxicam, it's a whole list of these drugs. Mm-hmm. If you're consistently using these drugs, you know, carelessly or even abusing them, they can actually cause irritation to the lining of the stomach, predisposing you more to developing peptic ulcer disease, particularly people above the age of 60, because most of these people end up having skeletal-muscular problems. Mm-hmm. They may end up having arthritis, they may end up having osteoporosis, they may end up having, you know, different types of pains and discomforts in the skeletal muscular system. They are often they would often buy these drugs to give them relief, and not recognizing that the abuse of these drugs can actually predispose them to developing peptic ulcer.
And I'm so happy you mentioned that, Carlton, because most times when persons come to purchase those types of drugs, you know, for their either acute pain or chronic pain, and for chronic, obviously somebody who is in consistent or persistent pain, we always would advise them to make sure you eat properly. Yes. And most of the prescriptions, you would realize, Carlton, many doctors would prescribe, you know, omeprazole, pantoprazole, you know, drugs to help to protect the lining of the stomach just because of the effects of those types of NSAIDs, right? But just to let the audience have a clearer picture of what's going on. Now, those peptic ulcers, they when the acid in the digestive tract eats away in the inner surface of the stomach or the intestine, this is how the open sores occur. Mm-hmm. Now, the open sores sometimes can even bleed. So you have what you call internal bleeding. Mm-hmm. And that's why one of the symptoms would be bloody stools. Mm-hmm. So again, that's another indication that something is going on along with the other symptoms. Now, we have H. pylori in our body. It is present. But when they start to, you know, multiply or have larger numbers than they should, the balance is thrown off, or either we get it from contaminated food or water, then that becomes a problem. And so the lining of the stomach and the intestine is affected with the additional acid, and so the open sores would result.
Right. And I mean, if you were to think of an ulcer on the outside of your body, let's say it's on the leg or it's in the arm, and it's not dressed, you're not taking antibiotics, you're not using antiseptic agents to clean it, what will happen?
Exactly.
It will form an inflammation, you'll end up having secondary infections, and subsequently you could even have necrosis where cells begin to die and could even lose a limb, particularly if you're diabetic. So think of if you have an ulcer inside of your stomach or duodenum, think of what happens then if it's untreated, that you will most likely develop the same thing, bacterial infection there, you will end up having pain, you'll end up having internal swelling, and you will have bleeding. And so that is why it's important, if you do experience the symptoms, that you have an evaluation. Again, the symptoms are burning pain in the stomach, feeling a level of fullness or bloating or belching. You may have a bit of intolerance to fatty foods or spicy foods or peppery foods or even alcoholic beverages. You may end up having heartburns. You may end up feeling nauseous or even vomiting. Sometimes you may vomit blood, or you may vomit, you know, just vomit the foods. You may end up having excruciating pains as well. Mm-hmm. All right. So these are generally the symptoms. So what really causes ulcers? So there are many causes of ulcers, such as cancer of the stomach can be one of the cause. Smoking, whether it's marijuana or tobacco or high leaf or whatever, you know, anything that you decide to smoke, that predisposes you more to developing peptic ulcer. Alcohol abuse. So if you are consistently, you know, abusing alcohol, whether it's whiskey or brandy or vodka, you know, you're consistently, you know, abusing any form of alcohol, that predisposes you more to developing peptic ulcer. Let's take this caller. Good morning. Good morning to you, caller. Thank you for calling. Yes, it is. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning. I want to send a birthday to my wife.
No, because you're on Health Vibes. It's a health talk show that's happening now. You may have to call later after the show to make that request. Sorry about the inconvenience. Yes. So we're continuing. Sorry about that caller. Information is very important at that time, at this time. And so we want to really give the information out, the health information out, as we discuss peptic ulcer. People who are treating cancer, whether it's through radiation or chemotherapy, some of the medications can cause irritation to the stomach, and radiation as well can cause these ulcers. We know that as well, people may also experience some level of weight loss too. Wanted to mention that, particularly if it's unexplained.
Definitely, Carlton. Many times, you know, persons suffering from stomach pain, the most common, you know, saying would be gas, right?
Yeah.
And even though, you know, that may be the cause, you know, many people suffer with gas, whether it's as a result of they not eating on time, eating late at night, not eating enough, or, you know, very, very bad eating habits, you know, can result in getting gas. But not every time or not every stomach pain is gas. And so if you realize that you've been experiencing that type of pain or some of the symptoms that we mentioned earlier on, you know, your stool is of a different consistency, it is bloody, it is very dark, you have a loss of appetite, you're going through a very stressful period, you're probably known to be eating a lot of spicy foods, although that spicy foods by itself, you know, may not be a direct cause of peptic ulcers, but it certainly can make it worse. So if you already have peptic ulcers and you consistently love your pepper, you know, especially, you know, Trinidadians, how are they love their spicy foods, Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just imagine, you know, someone
Indians,
suffering.
Yes,
Indians on a whole. But I'm saying this to say that if you have a consistent issue, a consistent pain for a considerable amount of time, instead of just, you know, buying over-the-counter items trying to suppress the pain, it is better to have it evaluated, because there may be a more serious issue going on, and you're just probably minimizing the pain, and then, you know, it reoccurs. So I'm a very, very great advocate for finding the root cause of a problem rather than trying to mask the symptoms, because you may never know, you know, especially let's say you're a regular drinker, you know, alcohol in itself can irritate the lining of the stomach and the intestines. So all of those factors do play a part, but again, you have to be evaluated to see whether it is probably merely gas or it's maybe something else going on in your stomach lining, on upper small intestine lining.
Excellent. So let's look a little into the bacteria Helicobacter pylori, which is the main culprit that causes peptic ulcer. As we said, it's a bacteria, it's not a virus, it's not a protozoan. It is a bacteria that is the main bacteria that causes peptic ulcer. How can I get, you may want to know, but how can somebody get this bacteria? I think Jacinta mentioned a few. Mm-hmm. So you can actually get it from person to person by saliva.
So
through kissing, you can actually get that bacteria through intimate kissing. You can get it from fecal contamination of food or water. So from the fiscal to oral route. So for example, if someone uses the washroom, let's say they have that bacteria in their system, they've used the washroom, they've not washed their hands, you have fiscal matter settled or residing or underneath the fingernails, then they go prepare a meal or prepare food for you, then you can actually contract the bacteria that we, so you can get it through food, you can get it in water, through water as well.
But this is also particularly important, you know, for parents with young children, you know, advising them, instructing them, and educating them of the importance of washing their hands thoroughly after using the washroom. And the same goes for us as adults, you know, whether we're in a hurry or it's an oversight on our part, there are those nice nail brushes that help you to get underneath the nails. For the many ladies who love their acrylics, I'm not against acrylics, but again, it's very, very, very important to get underneath. And so we are advocating as well for short fingernails as much as possible, and, but most importantly, to thoroughly wash your hands after the washroom, after using the washroom. For children, you know, who love to play in sand, in dirt, you know, if there are pets around, cats, dogs, or whatever type of animal species that may be around, who may be doing their waste in the soil, just be very cognizant of that, and that when they do come in to probably eat their supper or whatnot, that you can be with them, show them exactly how it is that you need to wash your hands, so that when it's time for mealtime, the hands are clean.
That's true. So how does the H. pylori enters the body? So it enters the body through the mouth, and it moves down through the digestive system, and it infects the stomach or the small intestine. So it gets through the mouth, all right? It gets through the mouth and then gets into the digestive system. The bacteria can actually survive, you know, very well in the harsh acidic environment of the stomach, so it really does not die easily. All right, so even if it can really survive, it has almost like a resistance towards the bacteria, the acid, the hydrochloric acid that's at the stomach, and therefore can really survive that harsh environment. The progression is generally slow. However, if the infection of H. pylori is not treated, it can actually develop or cause gastric cancer. So it can actually cause stomach cancer. And that is why this is, it's really, really important that if you do have the symptoms, that you get the necessary evaluations done, the necessary blood tests, stool cultures done, just to confirm whether you have this bacteria or you don't. And once the doctor receives all of the necessary all of the results, then you can begin to get treatment. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back as we discuss peptic ulcer disease.
Charlie's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare with love. If you're feeling down and having a slow day, just pack up your bag and head to the city. The love that you need right away with love. Honey, by your love, darling. Honey, by your love. So many people wrong the world, you will hear say. The number one pharmacy in the country. Jolly's, you've been leading the way with love. Honey, by your love, darling. Honey, by your love. Honey, 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 by your, by your, by your, by your, by your, by your, by your.
Jolly's Pharmacy, leading the way in healthcare with love.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe. Health Vibes. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.
So we're back with you as we're discussing this morning peptic ulcer disease on Health Vibes. We have been looking at the disease. We've defined it. We've basically given the signs and symptoms of peptic ulcer disease. We've spoken about how it's caused. And we're just basically going to look at the progression of this disease. How does it actually progress? So initially, when the bacteria gets, we said it, it's caused by a bacteria, the H. pylori bacteria. When the bacteria gets into the body by the mouth, it impacts or it affects the lining of the stomach. So it affects the mucosal lining of the stomach. Then it begins to form an inflammation of that lining. So it begins to form an inflammation there, developing what we call chronic gastritis. So gastritis basically means inflammation of the mucosal lining of the stomach. Then, after that, you begin to lose the stomach cells. So the normal healthy cells in the stomach, they begin to be damaged. Affected or damaged. Mm-hmm. And so they develop what we call atrophic gastritis. So you end up losing some of the key cells in your stomach, in the stomach lining. Then you could have what we call a transformation of the stomach lining. So you could start finding the stomach really gets compromised to the point where the lining begins to bleed. All right, so you could begin to get bleeding. You would begin to experience a lot of pain, discomfort, burning. You know, you'd begin to experience that, and then subsequently you can start developing stomach cancer or what we call gastric cancer. Mm-hmm. At that stage, it's really serious. And therefore, evaluations would have to be done. Even at that stage, you may recognize that if you're vomiting, you may see that the vomit color may change.
Yes.
So you may see either very dark red or almost a blackish color or grayish color in the vomit. And that in itself could indicate to you that cells in there are dying off, cells in there, you know, there is something really serious. You know, you're not a coffee drinker, you're not a tea drinker, you've not drunk any of those, and all of a sudden you're vomiting blackish, grayish in color. Mm-hmm. You know, that is of major concern, and that is something that you have to monitor and would have to certainly see your healthcare provider for an evaluation.
But Carlton, you know, it's something that concerns me, and it happens with many of us. Mm-hmm. We realize, you know, something is a bit off with our body, and what is so interesting about our human body, it gives off indicators that something is off. You know, so we're accustomed of seeing our skin of a different, of a certain color, of a certain texture. All of a sudden, we realize there's a rash. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a line, there's a cut or something on it. So again, this indicates, hey, something has caused this, something is wrong. So in our urine, our stool, if we vomit, you know, our eyes, so many mm-hmm. things, so many things on our body would give us an indication that something is off. And if you do realize that, again, waiting last minute puts yourself in at more jeopardy.
Yeah,
right?
Greater risk.
Of mm-hmm. course, at greater risks. And I know many, many people would say, well, let me try to treat it on my own. Let me read famous Google doctor and, you know, ask a friend of a friend, try to self-diagnose, try to minimize symptoms for a while, and then not realizing that, as you described, a progression, a severe progression inside the body is occurring. And only when you reach the latter stages and it becomes more serious or the symptoms become more unbearable that you run to the doctor, right? So it's the same thing as you described earlier, Carlton, about open sores on your skin. Probably mm-hmm. started off as small, or let me take ringworm for an example, you know, something more prevalent. Ringworm normally starts off small, and then it can spread. We had an example of a parent bringing in a young boy, and the ringworm literally spread from eye to eye above his eye. It was mm-hmm. that widespread. And sometimes we wait a while before being assessed mm-hmm. and being evaluated by the doctor. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Carlton, it puts yourself at more risk, at greater risk.
Mm-hmm. We have a caller. Let's take this caller. Good morning to you, caller.
Hey, good morning to you, Carlton.
My friend, good morning to you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. What about
I am great. Thanks for asking.
Hi. What about Jacinta? You good?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks. How are you?
Good. Carlton, Jacinta just mentioned in something about when people, the body go into certain things and people kind of ignoring it and the signs that it gives you. I simply say that the human physical structure is intelligent.
Very.
Yeah, and when things go wrong internally, they send out signals. Sometimes we are the ones that I'm stubborn and disobeying.
That's
and
it.
Like you're saying, it is not good to self-diagnose. You need to see a doctor, you need to see a physician.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst I'm at that, Carlton, let me say, Dr. O'Reilly said thanks for the recommendation.
Okay, good.
Yeah, very good guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So I just came in and I said, let me just drop that in as I heard Jacinta mention in that area, because really and truly, the human physical structure is very, very intelligent. Mm-hmm. And when things go wrong, they send out signals, and these signals we have to obey,
because
this is the alert that it's sending to us that you need to do something. Mm-hmm. And you, not a doctor, you cannot self-diagnose.
That's
have a good one, my brother.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. So looking at some of the complications of peptic ulcer, particularly if they are left unresolved, ulcers can result in some complications. You could end up having perforation, and that is, you may end up having, a lesion developing on the lining of the stomach, almost like a hole. The ulcer forms that a hole on the lining of the stomach that could widen and cause major problems. So you could end up really having a severe infection on the lining of the stomach. As well, bleeding. You may end up having bleeding inside of your stomach. And that can be very, very serious, because it can lead to anemia. All right, so your blood count can mm-hmm. significantly drop and can even impact the amount of oxygen that gets into your vital organs, including your brain. You may have obstruction in your digestive system, so you may have difficulties even absorbing food,
nutrition.
Your stomach breaking down food, mm-hmm. So that too can be a major complication as well. In cases like that, once the doctor has assessed you, they may want to do surgery. And I tell you that the surgical procedure for peptic ulcer is a very wide one. You get cut from the beginning of your stomach all the way up in the middle of your chest,
mm-hmm.
all the way down close to your groin, close to where your pubic area mm-hmm. would normally be. And so that's a very large, a very long cut. They have to actually really get in there, in that cavity, and open up. And it means that rehabilitation and healing and so forth may take some time. And you really don't want to get yourself in that situation, particularly for people who abuse alcohol. And that is one of the main things that, people who abuse alcohol, others would often tell mm-hmm. them, that you'll end up having stomach problems.
Exactly.
But even smokers as well, there's a higher prevalence or chance of they developing peptic ulcer than the non-smoker or the non-abuser of alcohol. So how do we get diagnosed?
Okay, so Carlton, before we go to being diagnosed, I just want to take a little step back, with the obstruction of the digestive system, where food is unable, you know, to pass through. Mm-hmm. It goes back to one of our symptoms of weight loss, mm-hmm. and the feeling of fullness, mm-hmm. and being bloated. You know, many of us would say, okay, I don't have appetite, which is also, you know, one of the symptoms of peptic ulcers, but the feeling of fullness after eating, very minimal. And if you know to yourself, you know, you're a heavy eater, you have a large plate of food, you normally finish everything, and before you're halfway through, you have that feeling of fullness. You no longer feel the need to continue eating, mm-hmm. right? And that is because as the peptic ulcer progresses and gets more serious, that would obstruct your digestive mm-hmm. system. So you may find yourself losing weight as well. Of course, many people may see that as a surplus. You know, they've been trying so hard to lose weight. But the weight loss side effect or symptom of it would not be on its own. You would have other symptoms, I'm sure, like the pain and the bloody stools and whatnot. With the progress or the growth of the ulcer and the continuous bleeding, you are at greater risk of developing other stomach infections, because already the lining has been compromised. So both in the stomach area and in the small intestine area, where that protective lining is no longer whole, it has been intruded, you know, by the H. pylori bacteria or with consistent use of certain medications. So right there and then, you're going to have increased susceptibility or risk of developing other types of infection already.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good point that you've raised as well. So let's look at the diagnosis. You've gone to the emergency room because you've been experiencing epigastric pains and most of the symptoms that we've spoken about. What happens then? So you've gotten to the emergency room. The first thing that will be done is a medical history. So the nurse will take your name, ask you how have you been experiencing. All of what you've said to her, she's going to dictate it. She's going to write it down. What you've said to her, how long, she may ask you specific times, how long you've been experiencing X, Y, Z, how many times have you vomited, have you passed stool, what have you seen about your stool, what have you eaten, do you drink, do you smoke, have you had anybody in your family died of stomach cancer, yeah. or any form of cancer, has anyone ever had a surgery, have you been taking any medication. So they'll ask you specific questions, a lot of questions, mm-hmm. to get a medical history of your situation. Then they will proceed with a physical examination. So they may put you to lie on the bed, ask you to take off your shirt, you maybe loosen up your pants, yes. or skirt, whatever it is, mm-hmm. and the doctor may begin to press in specific areas, yes. Close proximity to the stomach area. And they will look and see whether you have sensitivity in that area. So if you press in the epigastrium, if you jump, yes. then they will take note of that, you know. So these are the physical examination would be done. If you say, well, you've passed bloody stool, they may do a rectal examination as well and see if you've not had a tear or anything like that. So that is done.
But something else, O'Carlton, what I always tell individuals is when they realize that something is off, take note of when it happened.
Right.
Because one of the questions that will be asked, how long have you been experiencing, mm-hmm. it? Even us as pharmacists, you know, when you realize skin or whatever it is, we ask, how long has that been happening for? Has that occurred before? Is it in your family history and whatnot? And there are reasons why, you know, us as pharmacists or physicians would ask a line of questions. It's not to frustrate you or to make you feel like your time is being wasted. But the more information we have gathered, the better it is for us to assess the situation. If you do know of something, don't feel afraid or ashamed, mm-hmm. you know, to let the doctor know. It's for your own good and accurate assessment why we need to know certain things. So for example, you may have experienced the bloody stool or very dark stool and figure, I'm going to tell the doctor that is so embarrassing. But no, that may be a key point in the whole symptoms that may give the doctor or us as pharmacists an indication of exactly what is going on. So remember, the doctor can only, well, besides the physical examination, what they are not seeing, that's where you come in, and that's where the vital information from you comes in to help put the pieces together.
Excellent point. So we were talking about how do we get a diagnosis of peptic ulcer. So you get into the laboratory tests. So blood tests can be done. You may want to do, you know, varied blood tests just to make sure everything is okay, a complete blood count, you know, to make sure your hemoglobin count is fine, X, Y, Z. A stool culture is often done. They may ask you to submit some stool to the lab. They will be looking out for parasites, and as well as that H. pylori bacteria. It's one of the, it is easily detected in stool, in a stool culture, much quicker than a blood culture. Mm-hmm. So that would normally be done. Now, the doctor may decide to do an endoscopy, or what we call a gastroscopy, whereby a tube, a tube is projected inside of the mouth, pushed inside of the mouth with a microscopic light in there, and it also has almost like a detector in there that the doctor would be able to look inside of the stomach and also the small intestine, the beginning of the small intestine, and see what's happening in there and document what's happening. They may also take tissues from the bed of the stomach or the mucosa line on the mm-hmm, stomach mm-hmm. To send to the lab to do a biopsy, just to rule out any cancer or tumor. They may be able to select to see as well polyps or any growth that might be there, any bleeding that might be there. There are preps that has to be done. So once you're going to do this test, you would not have to eat anything in 12 hours. So in 12 hours, you would not have to eat anything at all, no food, just water before that test is done. The test is a very good, really, really good test. It can be done under sedation mm-hmm. or not. So some people, you might put you can be placed or you can be put to sleep, or you may not. They could deaden the area and allow you to have it done. X-rays can also be done too. So there are specific X-rays mm-hmm. that can be done as well to see what's happening, and even CT scans are also done as well, particularly if they recognize that you may have stomach cancer. They may decide to do a CT scan just to rule out.
There's also a breath test. Mm-hmm. And you may be wondering, breath test, how are they going to, you know, detect if there is stomach ulcers or H. pylori? So let me just walk you through it. So with the breath test, you would either be asked to drink or eat something that contains radioactive carbon, mm-hmm. right? Now, what's the H. pylori, if it is present or in large numbers, what they would do is break down this substance in your stomach. And then you would be asked to blow in a bag, and this is then concealed. Now, if you're infected with the H. pylori, your breath sample will contain the radioactive carbon in the form of carbon dioxide. So this is actually a very accurate test done. And I'm not sure how common it is here, mm-hmm. Carlton.
No, they don't do it here.
But it is a test that is available to do. Now, if you are on any antacids, and you know we have a wider range, you know, of them, from suspensions to tablets and whatnot, you would need to let your doctor know that. And so depending on the test used, you may need to discontinue that type of medication a period before those tests are carried out. Like I always say, if you're going to the doctor, whatever medication that you're on, or if you're on, or if you have been taking something or started taking treatment recently, I would advise you to let them know. So this is just a primary example, you know, that you're going to do other tests and you're just informing, you know, the doctors of what medication that you're on. So right here and there, it is advised that if you are on any antacid, they may tell you to refrain from taking it either a few days or a few weeks before. Similarly, if you are to do other types of procedures and you're on blood thinners and so forth, they may tell you to stop a while before.
Excellent point. Excellent point. Particularly if you are on a blood thinner like warfarin or heparin, you know, and you have to do particularly the endoscopy test, it means that you would have to suspend the treatment for a while, a few days prior to doing the test. And these are questions that I often ask, your doctor would ask you prior to having the procedure administered. So peptic ulcer, you might be wondering, is there a cure for it? Is it a chronic disease? Is it a disease that is not a chronic disease? Yes, there are treatments for it. And once detected early, again, you can actually be totally be healed from peptic ulcer. You don't want it to get to the stage where it gets to cancer. So there are treatments that are available. We do have different types of treatments. We use what we call the proton pump inhibitors. This is a class of drug that reduces the amount of acid in the stomach by blocking the tiny pores or pumps that produces the acid. So drugs like omeprazole, pantoprazole, esomeprazole, which one I'm missing? Lansoprazole.
Yes.
Right. These drugs are very, very popular on the market. Doctors may have different preferences in terms of which one they want to use. They are very good drugs and they're often used in the treatment of peptic ulcer. We always advise people when they're using these drugs to, one, take them on an empty stomach at least 30 minutes to an hour before eating. Avoid all alcoholic beverages, peppery foods, highly seasoned foods. We give you a full list of things that you may want to avoid whilst taking these medicines and whilst you're treating this disease. So the proton pump inhibitors, those are very good. They're excellent drugs that are used. Particularly if H. pylori is detected, so that the doctor decides to do the test for H. pylori, runs the stool culture, the test comes out positive, antibiotics are used to kill this bacteria and also to control the multiplication of the bacteria. So there are different antibiotics. Usually the doctor may use two antibiotics together along with the proton pump inhibitor an antacid to destroy the bacteria causing the treatment. A bismuth drug might be used. So for example, Pepto-Bismol can be used, or sucralfate can be used as well. These drugs are basically drugs that protect the lining of the stomach. So what they do, they coat the lining of the stomach, protecting the stomach from hydrochloric acid. All right. So basically what they do, they can discolorize your feces, making it darker, blackish or greenish in color. They can cause a bit of constipation as well. So if you're on a bismuth drug, we recommend that you drink more water than maybe usual. You drink more water. Antacids are also given as well. Antacids are things like Maalox, Mylanta. Which one I'm missing? Oh, there's so many.
Yes,
Dyker. There are many of them on the market. What they basically do is neutralize the acid in the stomach. So almost like you'd want to use the term simmer down.
Right.
You know,
but
the acid levels in the stomach.
Of course. And many of them, as you would realize in the instructions, Carlton, they are to be taken before meal. fields. And that's very, very, very important, because you remember when you're eating, you know, as it is being secreted and produced, you know, to help to break down the food. And remember, at that stage, you already have, you know, this sore in your stomach. And so we're trying to neutralize and break down. So most times the treatment given would ask that you take it before you eat, at least 30 minutes or so before, even given certain painkillers. So with the NSAIDs, as Carlton said, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs are to be taken with meals. Again, that's to help to protect your stomach. So those types of proton pump inhibitors or H2 receptor blockers like ranitidine, cimetidine, all of those would work better before meals, at least half an hour before. But like Kalti said, many of the treatments, once it is confirmed, again, it can only occur after thorough evaluation and assessment. Once it is confirmed that a patient has H. pylori, the main treatment or course of treatment would be antibiotics, along, you know, with an acid or so forth. And again, it is crucial to finish the entire course of antibiotics. It's more common to be treated with more than one antibiotic. Very rarely you'd find prescriptions for just one type of antibiotic once H. pylori has been detected. So it makes no sense to start an antibiotic course and stop it halfway or even 1 to 2 days and expect to get better. Remember, you're trying to kill that type of bacteria. So if you stop the course before it's time, then that means you may even have to be put on a stronger type of antibiotic or for a longer regimen.
Good point. And another point I want to raise as we're talking about the antibiotics that are prescribed for H. pylori is when you do come to the pharmacy and we get your prescription, particularly for peptic ulcer, where we see that you are going to be using two antibiotics along with other drugs. We cannot give you one and not the other.
No.
So therefore, we cannot say, well, we're going to give you only one of the antibiotic and then the other one stays back. We must give you the two. They must be given together. You must take them until they're completely finished, as Jacinta said. We cannot give you $5 worth or $10 worth of it. And then when you feel like coming back, you get the balance. No, it's not like your blood pressure medication. Because the aim is really is to kill and destroy that bacterium. Remember, that is the same bacteria that can cause stomach cancer. And so to protect yourself from developing stomach cancer, it is really best that you buy the antibiotic, all of it, and complete dose. Normally, you're given the antibiotic for 2 to 3 weeks,
yes.
Usually for 2 weeks, and then you have an evaluation by your doctor again. The test may be repeated to see whether the bacteria has died, whether the bacteria have died or it is still there. And then your doctor will decide what is the next course. I know many of you have had concerns in terms of side effects, particularly if you've been on metronidazole or clarithromycin or erythromycin, or, you know, the side effects can be a bit disturbing, particularly upset stomach, nausea, just feeling rumbling, feeling those side effects. If you're experiencing these side effects, doctors can also, you know, recommend medication or the medication that can minimize these side effects. And again, if you are intolerant to a particular drug, there are all these other alternatives can be given as well. So you don't have to suffer in silence and really take the drug if you know that the drug is really, really getting you extremely sick. All you need to do is communicate with your prescriber and let them know, well, listen, I'm taking this drug and this is what it's doing to me. It's really, really uncomfortable. I mean, the doctor, there are many other drugs that can have the similar effect in terms of destroying the bacteria that can be used. And so therefore, all you need to do is communicate. Do not suffer in silence and do not take the medication at all. When the doctor thinks exactly. that you are taking the medication, you're at home, not taking it at all. And then when you don't, you know, you've developed a more advanced stage of the ulcer,
exactly.
or even to the point where it begins to form a cancer.
And even so, Carlson, you know, it's not a matter of us wanting you to spend excess amount, you know, of money or a large amount of money at one time, where you may request one and come back for the other. And the reason why, you know, we are so adamant about setting the entire course of antibiotics is to improve patient compliance and ensuring that they complete the entire course. Because what may happen is if you purchase half of the medication, and by that time that you finish that amount, you feel better, you're not compelled to come back for the other half, right? But the mere fact that, you know, you have everything in front of you and you know it's for a certain length of time, you are more compelled to finish the entire course of antibiotics. Many a times, you know, one person may say, oh, I have similar symptoms as you, and this worked for me. And so they may share the antibiotics with another person. Of course, it's always a big no-no. We are strictly condemning, mm-hmm. prohibiting this type of a sharing, you know, although God says to share, but this type mm-hmm. of sharing, we say no to, because that person should be evaluated first. And sometimes doctors may even do certain tests to see what type of antibiotics, you know, the bacteria may be resistant to.
Mm-hmm.
to. And so with that type of test, they'll be able to better choose antibiotic that would fight against that type of bacteria. And you know, later down, Carlson, we will have a show about superbugs and how bacteria are able to remodify themselves, and frankly laugh at us, you know, when we give certain type of antibiotics, because they have already, you know, modified the entire network and makeup to be able to be resistant to certain antibiotics. And that is a worldwide problem. And the same thing goes with incompletion of an antibiotic course, where the bacteria would have a chance, you know, to become resistant. So that's why we are strongly, you know, advising persons to completely, you know, finish their antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. And as you were talking about medication adherence and so forth with peptic ulcer treatment, mm-hmm. and not sharing of medications, also remember as well, listeners, that you may end up having a hypersensitivity reaction to the drug, meaning that you may have an allergic reaction to the drug. So yes, your mother may have taken it and you may recognize that you have similar symptoms to that of your mother, but you might be just as well allergic to that drug and not know. And so that is why it's dangerous to actually share medications. And some allergic reactions can be fatal, because some of them can cause what we call you can end up having tachycardia. Your ear sacs can begin to constrict, and you have difficulty breathing. And so it's not a prudent thing. It's not the safest thing to do, you know, using somebody's medication,
exactly.
because they told you that it has worked for them. We have a caller. Let's take this caller, please. Good morning to you, caller.
Hi, morning. I was just wondering, since you're speaking about, you know, the different medications and finding one that works with you, if Jolly's has something in place to, I don't know, maybe keep track of if someone comes in with a certain medication for something, and then they come back a few days later with an alternative medication, would you keep track of that, so that in the future, you know, because people can forget sometimes that, you know, they were prescribed that one and, you know, it wasn't really going with them. So
okay.
if they have to, instead of, you know, it being sold to them and then a few days later they have to come back to change it out again,
Okay.
Well, yes, our system does enable us to put a note on the system, especially if it's a prescribed drug.
Yeah.
So there is an area where we can insert, you know, persons maybe allergic to or, you know, certain type doesn't go along with them. So, yes.
Right. And we also advise people as well that if you have taken a drug, whether it's a class of, you know, so if it's if you're allergic to, let's say, amoxicillin, it means that you're allergic to all penicillins. Mm-hmm. And so we would advise you to write that in your medical book if you do have one in reading pen. So you want to write that, or using a colored permanent marker, you write that big and bold allergic to. And you want to remember that at all times. So when something happens, and you want to as well tell your close friends and family, so that if something happens to you at work and you're unconscious and they take you to the hospital, at least somebody knows that you're allergic to a particular drug and not further put you at greater risk. But let's look at some of the lifestyle changes, as we have just about 9 more minutes on the show today. The lifestyle changes that needs to be adhered to, that needs to be practiced if you are to protect yourself from developing peptic ulcers. The first thing that you really want to do is limit your alcohol intake. So you want to drink in moderation. If you're a person that may have a little social drink off and on, that's fine, but you want to really limit the amount of drinks. So any person that is, any male that is under 65 years, it is normally recommended at least not more than 2 drinks per day, alcoholic drinks that is. And if you're above the age of 65, whether you're male or female, is precisely 1 drink per day. You want to look at your stress levels as well. Reduce your stress levels, as stress can actually cause your stomach to release more acid. Because if you're stressed out, your body is going to release noradrenaline, and that is going to cause your stomach now to secrete more hydrochloric acid. So you want to reduce stress. That is why if you find yourself very frightened, very anxious, you could find yourself going to the bathroom, getting a diarrhea, what you call an acute diarrhea. And so therefore, you want to reduce the amount of stress that you might be that might be affecting you at this point in time.
Definitely. You also want to make sure that you get enough rest. So we have always mentioned the importance of sleeping properly, getting, you know, a certain number of hours in at night, because sleep does help with your immune system and helps to combat stress, as we just said a while ago. So you want to also avoid eating shortly before food, so that by the time you lay down at night, your food is properly digested. All right. Smoking, as we said earlier, can be one of the causes of a peptic ulcer. And the way that it contributes to this development is by interfering with the protective lining of the stomach. And that makes your stomach, again, more susceptible to developing the ulcer. So if you're a customer of smoking an entire pack in one day, then try reducing it to half, to probably 3, to probably, you know, to, and eventually to none, right? Not just, of course, to prevent you from developing this type of condition, but for overall health purposes. You want to try to reduce the amount of milk, because milk can increase excess acid in the stomach. So interestingly enough, as much as we love milk and put it in various recipes of ours, it can be a contributing.
So that includes dairies.
Dairy products as well. However, there are, you know, certain types of yogurts and so forth that contain probiotics. I know probiotics help to level out and keep the bacterial level balanced. So it's all about having a certain balance of dairy products, not consuming too much, and if you do, to select products which contain probiotics. And of course, eating a healthy diet, especially lots of fruits, because, you know, all of our fruits contain vitamin C, which act as natural antioxidants, which help to fight off free radicals, help to boost our immune system. And so they they add nutrition to our body, and of course the fiber content as well keeps our digestive system running smoothly. And of course we mentioned earlier how peptic ulcers can disrupt that our digestive tract.
Good point. So just to again give you some more tips in terms of some of the foods that you may need to avoid, particularly if you're suffering with peptic ulcer or is currently being treated for peptic ulcer, that is one. As Jacinta said, dairy products, particularly chocolate milk and whole milk, hot coffee, or you want to avoid coffee. You want to avoid caffeine. You want to avoid chocolate as well, or cocoa, hot cocoa tea. You know, I mean, most of us like our cocoa, but you may want to avoid that. Carbonated drinks. You want to avoid carbonated drinks. You know, spicy, peppery foods. You want to avoid that. You want to avoid, so pepperoni, pizza. You want to avoid that. Fried foods. You want to avoid fried foods. Curried foods, tomatoes or anything with ketchup, you want to avoid that. Green and black teas, you want to avoid that. Citrus drinks, so your grapefruit, orange, cranberry, right? They're very acidic, you want to avoid that as well. And we did mention alcoholic beverages, you want to avoid that. You did mention some of the healthier foods now that are better, you know, to use your fiber foods, your fruits, your oatmeal, your brands. You could have some peanut butter. You could have legumes. You know, the whole aim is to ensure that you avoid foods that are producing a lot of acidity to the stomach. So the foods that would create more acid in the stomach, that's what you want to avoid. Or foods, there are certain foods that, especially greasy foods, the stomach will release more acid to break down the fat in these foods. And so that's why you want to avoid taking too much fried foods, particularly if you are experiencing peptic ulcer. You want to look at the timing as well at which you eat. So you don't want to, not have anything like even barbecue. You want to avoid barbecue as well, or eat very little of barbecue foods, or roast foods. Mm-hmm. Right? You don't want to eat anything beyond 7 o'clock. So when we talk about heavy meals, we're talking about, you know, beyond after 7 o'clock, you don't want to be having or consuming heavy meals. You want to maybe have something just light, maybe a cup of tea, herbal tea, and maybe some crackers. You want to chew your food properly. You want to take your time, eat slowly, you know, rather than eating fast. You want to chew and swallow your food slowly, and relax while you're eating.
Right.
You want to sit upright, you know, or even stand after you've eaten. You want to choose low fatty foods rather than fatty foods. Finish eating at least 2 hours before you go to bed. So, you know, you want to avoid these things. Drink water rather than, you know, drink water. You know, that drink more water rather than maybe than even having coffee or tea. You want to drink water. Try to avoid being... I'm staying hungry. You want to avoid staying hungry. So now it's recommended that you eat 6 meals per day, but smaller portions, you know. Don't try to drink too much tea or coffee. Try not to drink too much of that. Try to avoid taking too much of painkillers like aspirin, diclofenac, naproxen, particularly if it's not warranted, if it's not needed. You know, I'm trying not to try to kind of get your body to fight on its own. And sometimes, you know, avoid alcohol, avoid smoking, avoid skipping meals, avoid stressful habits. You know, as we said, stress can definitely allow more acid to get into the GI tract, and so therefore predisposing you more to gastritis and subsequently peptic ulcers. It's now 11:25. We're just about winding up to the show as we spoke about peptic ulcer, what you need to know, what you need to do to protect yourself against peptic ulcer. We know that the Christmas season is almost like a festive season worldwide, and it's a time where many people will consume a little more alcohol and may eat more baked foods and fried foods and fast foods and more fruit cakes. So you want to really take the necessary precaution to not just protect yourself only, but to maintain a healthy gastrointestinal system. So from all of us here on Health Vibes, we're saying good morning to you. Remember that your health is indeed your greatest resource. Take care of yourself. Have a good morning. Take care. Bye-bye.
Jolly's Pharmacy presents a new and innovative radio program, Health Vibes.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday morning on Q95 FM. Health Vibes. Hosted by Carlton Lando and Jacinta Fagan Defoe.
Health Vibes.
Every Wednesday from 10 to 11:30. It's not just your average talk show. It's appealing and educational with a bit of humor. Real vibes on your health. Now, that's the vibe. Health Vibes on Q95 every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. with Jacinta and Carlton. Tune in.